Now that it's all over, I find myself thinking about family history and family memories, the stories that hold a family together and the acts that can split it apart. I used to think that no act was irreversible, that decisions taken and mistakes made could, on the whole, be put right. Now I know that certain acts in life are irreversible and lead you to landscapes you never dreamt of. There is a repeated line in August Strindberg's play of 1902, a dream play. Der Sind o Manehorna. The line is spoken by the god Indra's daughter, who descends to Earth in order to better understand humanity and its self-inflicted suffering. The expression is not easy to translate. Edvin Borkman, in his early 20th century translation of the play, rendered it plainly, but perhaps slightly awkwardly, as men are to be pitied. Der Sind o Manehorna. And of all the self-inflicted wounds of humanity, addiction, it seems to me, is one of the most tragic. Who can help the addict, consumed by a shaming hunger, a need beyond control? There's no medicine. The drugs are the medicine. And who can help their families, so implicated in the self-destruction of the addict? Who can help when the very notion of help becomes synonymous with an exercise of power, a familial police state, an end to freedom in the addict's mind? This is a story about witnessing addiction. In some ways, it's an ordinary story. Two people, Hans and Eva, my brother and his wife, met in recovery, fell in love, got married, had children, then relapsed. He survived, she did not. Addiction stories are the same the world over. The individuality of addicts is curiously erased by the predictable progress of the disease and of recovery. In our case, what made the story different was partly the fact that it became so public. Witnessing the apparently voluntary physical and mental decline of people you love is inexpressibly painful. In that context, whether the story is public or not doesn't matter. The sadness and anxiety are so overwhelming that headlines are irrelevant. But you don't want the media to own the story of your life. That might be a good enough reason to write a book. But I had also always assumed that when dramatic events occur, there would be a narrative followed by a conclusion to be filed in the family archive. The story would be told, probably by lawyers, facts would be revealed, and future generations of the family would know what happened. But it turned out that no one was collating the facts. There was no timeline and no coherent family narrative, and yet Hans and Eva's addiction was the worst thing that had ever happened to us. It dragged us to the underworld of mute, slow-motion grief, the realm of sudden breakdowns and uncanny delusions. It brought us rounds of disturbing disputes, time-consuming and complex exchanges of emails, endless reports and conversations, engagements with psychiatrists, therapists, and addiction experts of every kind. It made me think deeply about the nature of family and the limits of our responsibility for one another, who we were and who we had become. Hans and Eva got married in 1992. It was the culmination of years of recovery. They had gone to 12-step meetings, they had sponsors, they may even have sponsored others, and they gave money to addiction charities. By 1999, they had three children. Then, 8 years after they got married, they had a catastrophic relapse. It lasted for 12 years. I was 38 when it began, 50 when it ended.